Level up your LA Kings experience with the new Vivid Seats Elite Seats. All the on-ice Kings action with even more exclusive access. Enjoy great seats to the game along with premier dining inside the Lexus Club with all-you-can-eat food and non-alcoholic beverages. Plus, get a free Team LA Kings item and parking with your purchase. Score your Vivid Seats Elite Seats tickets today and earn rewards on each purchase from the only ticket company that rewards you for buying. Experience it live with Vivid Seats, the official partner of the LA Kings.
You're listening to an LA Kings podcast. For more episodes of this and every other Kings program, visit lakings.com/podcast.
You're listening to All the Kings Men, the official podcast of the LA Kings. Now, here's your host, Jesse Cohen.
Welcome back, Kings fans. I am Jesse Cohen. This is All the Kings Men. Today, we're taking a look at the LA Kings draft pick, Wojtek Cichosz. We're going to start out with Mark Ynetti, Director of Amateur Scouting for the LA Kings. He's going to talk to us about the Kings' second-round pick taken with the 59th overall pick. Then Scott Wheeler from The Athletic joins us to discuss the check forward from an independent scouting standpoint. And finally, we'll be joined by LA Kings amateur area scout Peter Jelinek, who played in the Czech League for over a decade before recently becoming a scout for the LA Kings. We have already done one episode covering Henry Brustevich. We will continue to do the other players taken in the draft as the summer rolls on. Hope you enjoy all of these and encourage you to listen to all of them. It's always interesting and entertaining when we hear Mark Ynetti, especially when contrasted with other voices in the hockey world. The next player we're going to talk about, Wojtek Cichosz, taken 59th overall in the second round. And Mark, the name that popped into my head was Alex Iafallo. When talking about Wojtek Cichosz, is that a fair comp?
If he can learn to compete the way that Alex competed, then I would say yes. Then it would be a very fair. They have a lot of similar attributes. Yes, the thing that separated, and Alex didn't have that his draft year. You know what I mean? Alex developed that as he progressed. Really, probably his second year in college is when that aspect started to really, you could see a slow burn, and then his second year in college, it kind of just, his compete just kind of exploded, and then when he turned pro, I couldn't have anticipated that he would embrace that competitive role like that. So that's a harder one to project, but they do in terms of their skating, the way they play, the way they're on pucks, the quickness, especially the way they jump into holes, the way they jump on players, there are, and the way they shoot, they kind of get shots from those messy, dangerous areas. There's definitely similarity in terms of the structure and foundation of their game.
The strengths and weaknesses listed for him. One of his strengths is work ethic. And work ethic is fine, and I don't want guys who don't have a work ethic, but work ethic without awareness can be just as dangerous, right? If a guy's working to serve his own needs rather than the team's needs, or if the guy doesn't realize what is being asked of him to work on, then that can spiral out of control too. So work ethic is fine and good, and obviously you don't want a guy without it, but does he have the rest of the complementary tools to make work ethic a strength, like a strong strength?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, I want all the guys to have work ethic, you know.
Sure.
You need it directed the right way, obviously. Again, work ethic, I mean, even without hockey sense, they get to the wrong place faster than anybody else. That's one
right.
of the, yeah. you know, that's one of the scouting jokes. I think his sense and his reads without the puck are actually better than his sense and reads with the puck. I think that he has good anticipation. I think that he reads space well. He, you know, as I said, like if you look at Iafallo, probably the part of his game that was critiqued the most, even in pro, is his offensive creativity. And that would be what I would critique Cichosz with as well. I think his offensive creativity is probably the lowest element of his makeup. Doesn't mean it's bad. It's just, you know, it's fine. It's average. He's more of a shooter. He's more of a read space, hit a hole, skate by a guy, skate into a hole. But again, that's the kind of sense he has, and that complements itself with work ethic. You know, getting onto guys quickly, getting to loose pucks, getting to holes, using his quickness to jump by a defender and shoot. So I think his work ethic is well complemented by his sense without the puck. But again, work ethic and compete for me are different. You can work really hard and still lack something in compete. So for me, compete is hard area play. You know, it can be physical. It can be under sticks. You know, it's just as competitive as if you hit a guy against the wall as if you get under a stick and take the puck away from him. So there's a whole lot of ways to measure compete, like, you know, taking a hit, giving a hit, getting to the hard areas. Those are the areas that I follow. He just does better than other people. And Shahar is going to, if he wants to be that type of player, he's going to have to develop that type of compete.
A lot of times when we talk about kids who played at a senior level as like a 17-year-old, we're talking about a guy who played like 3 minutes a night, had like 2 points, and it's very hard. It from what I read, it didn't really seem like he played that little of a role. It seemed like he played a little bit more, offensive totals a little bit higher than you see sometimes. What did you learn from that part of his game that he was able to maybe play a little bit bigger of a role at 17 than a lot of these kids do in a team like that or a situation like that?
Well, when you look at the kids playing, you know, you look at the kids playing in the Liga, the, you know, Elitserien, Tipsport in Czech, or even the World Juniors, the young kids, when they're playing against that type of competition, if they can tread water and not look out of place, it's a success. Obviously if they're great there, it's great, but you know, if they can do that, you know that they have a higher chance for success. If they can just adapt and survive at those levels. So he obviously did more than that, both in the World Junior and in the men's league. He played more third line minutes. You know, he did get some spot duty on a second power play. He did get some spot duty playing up the lineup once in a while, but you know, he was about a 14 minute a game guy, which is, as I said, just go look at how many draft eligibles play those kind of minutes there. And he had some points too. So that's important. You know, again, he's in a real unique situation. Usually you'd be wanting to get the guy over, and I can see a very good reason to get him over to play junior. But I can see another reason to keep him there. Usually it's pretty easy with these guys. With him, it's a little tougher. If he comes over, he's the man. Like, one of the things you want to see more from him, as I said, you want to see more offensive creativity, but it's more offensive mindset, offense first. When you play in those big leagues, even when you play bigger minutes, your mindset is still safety. It's still don't do anything to get sat. It's still a different mindset. So while he goes back there, that'll be a little different knowing he's going to be on the second line and a little more involved. But there's something also to be said about, you know, having everything run through you. But as I said, if he does go back, they've already told him second line minutes, second power play, which they have no choice but to do, because you're seeing if these kids don't get that, they're all coming over now.
He played in the Czech Republic. He's from the Czech Republic. He's from a town on the western side of the Czech Republic. When I had a chance to speak to him briefly after one of the scrimmages at Dev Camp, and he, you know, for an 18-year-old kid, he didn't seem timid. He didn't seem shy. He seemed really happy, really grateful to be there. He understood everything I was asking. He had great answers. My question is, during the interview process, when you get a kid like that who's not from North America, who didn't grow up in the media ecosystem, probably didn't get media training the way someone like a Brustevich may have, does that come through in the interview process? And is that part of the evaluation, seeing a kid who's so comfortable in his own skin that he can handle that kind of cultural transition?
Yeah, it's always nice. I mean, again, the, I don't want to stereotype, but over the years, you know, kids from Finland usually act a certain way. Kids from Russia act a certain way. Kids from the States act a certain way. So you get used to, you create a baseline. You know, so as I said, you create a baseline for Russian players, you create a baseline for Canadian junior players. You know, it's a baseline for college players in the US. It's different than the baseline for high school players. So you create a baseline so that you're not, you know, some of these kids are shy. Some of the kids, you know, as I said, if you talk to Brock Nelson when he was playing high school, and you talk to Anton Frondell, who just finished playing in Allsvenskan, you get a completely different thing. So you have to have these baselines. So with the Czech kids, sometimes there's a language issue, and then sometimes there's just a cultural issue. And they usually do err more on the side of very reserved, measured in what they say, kind of quiet and monotone a lot of times. But no, he was different. Obviously, he's been around men, you know, as I said, playing in the, you know, playing with men the whole year, playing in the World Juniors, having a little bit more name recognition in terms of that stuff has prepared him. And he was a very comfortable kid in the interview. You know, he was easy to talk to. He wasn't, I wouldn't say he was gregarious or extroverted, but he certainly, we didn't have to pull things out of him, which was nice. So I thought we got a very good feel for his personality. And then Peter Jelinek did a lot of work with that stuff too. There's a lot of foundational work for the combine, before some of those other meetings too. So yeah, it certainly helps. It certainly helps when a kid is a little more open, to talk to.
Ever wonder what top athletes eat to perform at their best? Superfood Direct, the preferred catering partner of the LA Kings, is here to fuel your game. For athletes, nutrition isn't just fuel, it's the key to peak performance. Superfood Direct delivers chef-prepared meals that help you build strength, boost endurance, and recover faster. With over 11 years of experience, every meal is balanced with the perfect mix of proteins, carbs, and healthy fats to power you on and off the ice. Ready to fuel your greatness? Visit superfd.com/direct and get 20% off your first order with promo code LA20. That's LA20.
Or the next player we're talking about from the 2025 NHL entry draft, taken in the second round by the LA Kings, Wojtek Cihaj. Scott, Wojtek is an interesting player because I didn't hear any strong negatives, but I also didn't hear any strong positives. What's your read on his draft profile?
Yeah, I think 59 where they took him is about the right range. I was a little bit lower on him than that, but I know there were scouts that viewed him in that range. Certainly NHL Central Scouting was high on him. NHL Central Scouting, if I recall correctly, had him as their second or third ranked European skater, or international skater, I should say, ahead of the draft. So they were high on him. He was viewed as a second, maybe early third round pick. They obviously took him late second. So right there in that range. Cihar is an interesting one. He played pro hockey last year, played at the World Juniors last year. So he's a little bit further along the development curve than some of his peers, but also doesn't wow you with his skill level or his individual playmaking or his power. He's not a super big kid. He's not a super strong kid. What Wojtek is a 6-foot player who can play both wings, who has some versatility to his game, who offers sort of dimension on and off the puck in terms of just being a very well-rounded player. Obviously, having already played pro hockey, it's easy to identify a path for him that travels from Czechia's top pro rung and into the AHL. I think at minimum, he's probably a middle six AHLer and has a very, very long pro career ahead of him. The question is just going to be, does he have it in him to become a role player in the NHL? And especially as bottom sixes are trending towards getting bigger and heavier again, is there a role for a player like him who's not going to have the talent to play in a top six to carve out a niche as a third line secondary contributor or a fourth line secondary contributor? Can he play on a second power play? Is there enough talent there? Those are real questions with Wojtek, and now it's up to him to answer them, to take a step next year and to continue to build on what he started this year, which was a very respectable season in a very respectable league.
How maybe difficult is the evaluation of a player like this, where he's not posting gaudy numbers, but he's playing in a much harder league at a much younger age against much older players. And he seemed to carry himself decently. Like, I know 9 points isn't a ton, but it's not 1 point. A lot of times you see like lower games played, you see fewer points. It seems like he carried himself decently against grown men in Czechia.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that comes back to that sort of know-how that I hinted at with him. He knows how to play off of his line mates. He knows where to be on the ice. He's not afraid to go to the dirty areas. I wouldn't call him an ultra-competitive, sort of hard-nosed player who seeks out contact or seeks out the sort of being F1 on the forecheck and that kind of a thing. But he'll work to get to pucks. He certainly understands timing and spacing and how to get open and where to be on the ice and how to support his line mates and how to support play defensively. So there is a bit of a maturity to his game. It can be tricky though. I'm not going to lie. It can be tricky scouting players in Czechia's pro league. We had a big group of them there during the pandemic. A larger sort of contingent played in Czechia and in Slovakia during the pandemic. And we got to really test ourselves in terms of navigating that level. It's a complicated level. There are a few good teams. There are teams that have real track records of producing talent in both of those leagues. But it's not one of the three or four best leagues in Europe. And it certainly doesn't have a rich, rich history of producing NHL players. Now, there have been, Edward Chalet was taken 14th overall by the Seattle Kraken a couple of years ago, and Yuri Kulik, who played, frankly, as the first-line center for the Buffalo Sabres last year. There are players who are coming through on a consistent basis through that level. Adam Benash, who was taken by the Minnesota Wild this year, was another player who sort of started there before coming over to the USHL. Radim Mertka was a top 10 pick of the Buffalo Sabres this year and started the season there. But oftentimes those kids leave, like Benash, like Mertka, they leave that Czech pro level and they come over, whether it's through the CHL import draft or to play college hockey via the USHL. They haven't often lingered there and had successful careers. So I'll be interesting to see what path Chihar takes over the next couple of years and where he ends up with it, because he could linger over there and try to go to the AHL that way, or he could come over and sort of try to play through junior or college over here. And there are different options available to players now. So he's got a decision to make for himself.
A couple of the words you used stood out to me as being like things that I feel like a coach likes. You talk about the responsibility, you talk about like the knowing where and when to be. Those seem like intangible type qualities that often are valued, you know, by coaches. Do you see him being that kind of player? Like, I don't know how to fully describe it, but there are always just players that coaches are drawn to. And it seems like a lot of them share those same kinds of things that you mentioned with Chihar.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that with him. I don't think he's a coach's dream necessarily. Like, he's not one of those complete Swiss Army knife types that everybody just absolutely loves. He doesn't have that motor that runs super hot, or he's not necessarily going to be a go-to penalty killer. Those are typically the types that coaches are really drawn to. But every coach also needs the plug and play guy as well. And he sort of fits that mold as a plug and play guy who can play with different people, potentially be a, once he gets over to the AHL, for example, I think there's a world where he's a complementary piece on a line to start and then becomes a bit more of a driver as his career in the AHL moves along and that kind of a thing. So I think there's a pathway to him at least becoming a call-up option, someone that an NHL organization trusts as, hey, the 12 forwards that we started the season with are now whittled down by injuries or illnesses, or like someone leaves for to have a baby or whatever. We all know how NHL seasons go. I think he's the kind of player who over time could just hang around long enough, be a solid player long enough that he gets that NHL call up someday, and then it's up to him to make the most of it.
You know, it's funny, Zach, the phrase that pops into my mind when you describe a player like that is just Alex Iafallo.
100%.
And that's, I mean, listen, Alex Iafallo, I don't think was drafted. So if you can take a guy in the second round who winds up having the career of an Alex Iafallo, no complaints out of me. We saw him at Dev Camp, Scott, and the one takeaway for me from the Dev Camp scrimmages we watched, which to be perfectly clear are just scrimmages at Dev Camp. They're not, you know, they shouldn't be used as evaluation tools with any sort of weight behind them. But he was one of the players that I watched him and I went, oh yeah, that's a guy who's played at a higher level of competition than some of the other players at camp.
that's a guy who looks more composed, more mature, more deliberate, just sort of just a step better than everybody else.
Yeah, that doesn't come as a surprise to me. Obviously, I'm not dialed in on development camps. I hear about who plays well, but I'm not watching development camps actively. But it doesn't surprise me when kids, whether it's Chihar or when overagers come in or college invites come in, the kids who just have experience playing in a pro environment or closer to a pro environment typically excel there. We see it every year at rookie tournaments where it's not always the first round picks that are flying around at rookie tournaments and making plays. Now, there are exceptions to that if you're a Brant Clark or a Quinton Byfield type where the skill level is just high end enough that even at 18 years old, you can look like a distinguished player at that level. But with Chihar or whoever, you go down the list, they drafted, I'm sure we'll talk about Caden Harrington. Caden Harrington just has that extra year. When you're 17, 18, 19, 20 years old, that extra time at a pro level or that extra year of development makes a big difference in the early stages. I do think that levels out over time, though. Like, I think some of the advantage that a player like Chihar maybe has now could shrink over time, just as some of the younger kids, some of the kids with less experience, some of the kids who are less physically mature catch up in the gym or catch up on the ice or catch up just in terms of playing it at a similar level. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out for him specifically. He's going to be at the World Juniors again this year with the Czech national team. And we're going to be seeing a lot of him. That doesn't always mean that he is that player is a premium prospect, but he's going to be someone that's firmly on the radar here over the next few years. And the Kings will obviously be watching him very closely. And then it'll be about taking steps. And sometimes it can be a little harder to take steps at the pro level. It can be a little harder to show those big development milestones that some of these other kids will show by going from 30 points in the OHL to 70 points in the OHL from one year to the next, for example. It can be more incremental when you're already at the pro level. But as long as he's making progress and he's on the right path, then that's all you really need to worry about.
All right, we're here today to talk about Wojtek Chihar. And joining me, Peter Jelinek. How are you doing today, Peter?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Now, I said his name, I hope, as close to correct as I could just now. But for the rest of it, I'm probably going to just say Chihar. I hope that's okay.
Yeah, it's Chihar. Yeah.
Okay.
You got it right.
Perfect, because I can't roll my R while making the zh sound. Peter is an amateur scout for the LA Kings, focusing on the Czech Republic and Europe at large. Harry, and so, Peter, this is the first time we've had you on the show. And before we jump into Wojtek Chihar, I want to briefly talk about the fact that I think you've been a scout with LA now for, what, three seasons?
Two.
Four seasons? Two.
This is my second season with the LA Kings.
Okay. But I understand that you played with Dvorak in the Czech Republic.
Yeah, I did.
And yep. I'm assuming you had some influence on him getting drafted.
Yeah, I did.
Okay, so
the LA Kings asked me about him, so I gave him a couple thoughts, what they wanted. So
the Kings now have two Czech prospects in the prospect pool, both taken in the second round. I mean, my takeaway from that is that they must trust your instincts a little bit.
It seems like, and I'm glad for it. So hopefully it will work out and there will be great players one day in NHL.
So talking about Wojtek Chihar, we spoke to Mark Yannetti about him. We talked to Scott Wheeler from The Athletic about him. I did a little bit of reading. I didn't get a chance to watch any of him play, obviously, as he played in the Czech League last year. But the name that kept coming back to me the more we talked about him was Alex Iafallo. As far as like maybe not a direct one-to-one style comparison, but just as sort of a guy who doesn't necessarily have one outstanding skill, but does everything really well. And the one thing that Mark Yannetti talked about when I brought up that comparison was that, you know, that Chihar, he's good at lifting sticks. And I think the phrase he used was he's better away from the puck than he is on the puck. Does that sound like the player you're familiar with?
Yeah, for sure. Like, he's still a young kid, and he played the pros over here. His first season, played first line, and he's mature, really mature in tactics. So his coach loved him. When I talked to coaches, like he said, like he's really smart kid for a young guy like him, and they can trust him. So he's trustable on the ice even when he was 17. So that's really rare in this league for sure. In every league, right? The young kids have to have something special to play with the men.
One of the things that I love about speaking to people who are fluent in English, but for whom it is not necessarily their native tongue, is that there's a sophistication with language that doesn't necessarily exist in North America, because we just speak every day. And so slang and expressions sort of sneak in. So you used a phrase there that I really want to drill down on, which is mature in tactics. Because tactics is a word that I've noticed now being used. Usually when I hear the word tactics, I'm listening to British people talk about soccer or football.
Yeah.
not North Americans talking about the sports that we like. And mature is also a very specific choice. So he was, 17 last year playing in in an adult league with men in their late 20s and 30s. So when you say mature in tactics, do you mean he has sort of an innate...
Good instincts.
Okay, yeah.
I would say good instincts on the ice, and he reads the game really well. So he's right time, right place, I would say.
Okay. And when we talked to Mark Iannetti, he talked about maybe he would need to develop, and he said it happens at different ages for different players, but a more sort of, I don't mean to use the word desperate in a negative way, but a more intense, more desperate approach to competitiveness. Is that just a maturity issue?
Totally agree. Okay. Like, he's a still young kid, and the progress will take a couple of years, right? So, and he needs to learn some of the stuff, the hunger and stuff like that, because he's like all over the ice player, I would say. Like, he can play defense, he can play forward, two-way player, I would say, but he needs to have more drive in his in the scoring areas and stuff like that. So that's what he has to learn and be better with the puck, I would say, in offensive zone.
So you yourself played professional hockey for, I mean, a very long
time. All my life.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're 41 now, I believe?
Yeah, 41,
And looking at your HockeyDB page, it looks like you played professionally for, I don't know, 20 years, it looks like.
Yeah.
So when you see a player like him, how do you identify instincts? Because when I watch, for example, we watched Dev Camp, and it was only three scrimmages, so it's not much to judge on. But when I was watching it, three different things that Vojtěch did stood out to me. One was he lifted somebody's stick just over the blue line. It was just a simple little play. Yeah. I don't think I saw another one of the kids in Dev Camp do it, right? It wasn't a high energy play. It was just a smart, simple little puck was going one way, lifted the guy's stick, boom, now the puck's going the other way. He made himself open and available a bunch of times, in the offensive zone. He wasn't... It was all low energy, but smart, intelligent plays. So when you're watching other players as a player yourself, what are the sorts of things that clue you in on that? Oh, this guy has good instincts.
You know what? I played center like almost all my career. Vojtěch is a guy I would like to have on my wing, because he knows where to go, be in the right place in the right time, gets open in offensive zone for the pass. Not even offenses or even neutral zone, like in the right areas, and he has good decisions where to go. That's what his upside is in my eyes for sure. So it's some of the players are just, they're just going, and they don't think where to go or where to stop, and he has that from his young age already. So that's perfect.
When I got a chance to talk to him, it wasn't very long, just a few minutes, but I just asked him, about coming to LA for the draft and what he did and who came with him. And he talked about his family and, they had a great time and they loved the air. I mean, but it was just, he was very friendly. He was very comfortable in his own skin. I don't know if that phrase translates, but
for sure.
That sort of thing to me matters so much, because it just means that he, he's got more mental energy to spend on the game. He doesn't have to worry about who he is in a room full of strangers. Is that You know, do you think that that developed as a result of playing in an older league with older players, or do you think he was able to do that because he already possessed that ability?
Like what I heard even from the guys playing over here with him, they said he's like really nice guy in the dressing room and he goes along with everybody. So I hope it is his plus, I would say. He's like that. So he doesn't get disturbed much from the other guys if something goes wrong. And hopefully it will be like that all the way through his career. So
now you played, what, 4 years in North America earlier in your career?
Yeah.
Is the game, what is the difference between the North American game and the Czech game at this point?
The ice for sure, because there's bigger ices over here, bigger rinks. So it's, the game is a little bit more tactical, I would say. And like North American hockey is bunch of little details like wall plays and passes, and there's not much room to, you have to be quick thinker to play over there, good skater. Like the hockey is a lot of it's a simple game, but it's hard to play, I would say. So yeah, so the biggest difference, yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Is he the type of player who can, you know, do you think his strengths will help him if he gets the opportunity to make that transition?
Yeah. I think he can improve for North American good hockey player. Like he can be two-way good forward, I would say. Third, second line player who would be reliable for the team.
And you know, when we talk about the, you know, the areas that Mark identified that he needs to work on, and you agreed, board battle, and you know, part of this is because Florida just won for the second time in a row, and they're, you know, they're a big physical team and everybody knows it and blah blah blah. Is that the sort of, I mean, does that play get focused on in the Czech league? Does that type of play rewarded the way it is over here?
Oh yeah. Like, okay. We're trying to focus on it, but I would say like NHL is the best league in the world, right? So you play against the best players in the world, so it's tough to just come there and be the best from the start. Like there are some superstars right from the start, but he'll be more like hardworking guy, and you never know what's going to happen in a couple of years. Maybe he will work, develop, and he could be goal scorer. But I think he'll be more like reliable player for a team than goal scorer.
And what do you imagine his path might be? I mean, does he spend another few years in the Czech Republic? Does he come over, play collegiately, play CHL over here? I mean, you know, what's best for his development?
This is actually this discussion last few weeks now. Like, I think he would like to come to CHL and learn the North American hockey, I would say. Because it's a little bit different, and he, if he wants to play NHL, and he wants to, right? So it would be good to play on the smaller rinks, and when he's gonna play juniors somewhere in CHL, he'll get tons of minutes on the ice. So that's perfect for his development, and excellent. He gets used to that North American hockey too.
Well, Peter, I appreciate you giving me your time today. Thank you from, I don't know what time it is over there, but I imagine you're way up. It's probably 5 o'clock.
Six o'clock. Yeah. It's okay.
Well, I appreciate it. And listen, I've never met a kid yet at one of these dev camp or rookie camps where I've talked to them and then immediately thought, oh, this kid's a jerk. They all seem like really nice kids and really great kids. Yeah. So, but I'm rooting for Wojtek, and I appreciate you giving us your time. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you very much.